on the plagues. We're doing the Bible Adventures with Moshe and Aharon. So we are getting ready here for the Passover, although the Feast of Trumpets is coming up soon, right? But we left off with one of the coolest things in the whole Exodus story, and that is in the plague of hail in chapter 9, that this is the first plague that actually was going to kill people. All the rest of them bothered people. But now the plague is going to kill people. And so we had this fascinating thing happen here in verse 18. Tomorrow I will send the worst hailstorm that has ever fallen on Egypt from the day it was founded till now. So give an order. Now this is Hashem talking through Moshe to Egypt, to Pharaoh, the officials, and to Egypt. Give the order now, command your people to bring in the livestock and their servants out of the field so they will not die. So this is a fascinating thing here that I just saw, because in these last plagues, which are more severe, it is now the plague that is going to kill people. And so God says, get your people out of the field so they will not die. Now he's telling the bad guys to live, to save themselves. And so this is a picture, as I said last week as we were ending, this is a picture of the mercy of God for salvation. Egypt is the world full of unbelievers, lost, and are going to die. But Hashem says, the plague is coming tomorrow, don't die. Come into the house. So why does the good guy warn the bad guy so he will live? And it's because Hashem is the God of love and mercy and does not want anyone to perish. And so I believe this is a cryptic picture, a remez or a sod of the gospel. Egypt represents unbelievers, and God is saying, come into the house. And the house here would be the body of Mashiach. It would be the church. And in the church, you do not die, you live. And so I just found that great that God would do that. And why would he do that? And it's because of the gospel. I believe this is a picture of the gospel here. All right? And it says in 21, those that did not set their hearts on the word of Hashem left their servants and livestock out in the field. And so, once again, it is a matter of the heart. As we see clear through the Exodus story, God is after the heart, and the heart is hardened and dark, or it is soft and repentant. And the ones that are soft live, and the ones that are hard die, right? And so set the heart on the word of the Lord. And so in the end, it's about the Bible, all right? So in this plague of hail, the Passover lamb story is only a few days away. And so here we have a picture of the gospel just a few days before the Passover lamb, which actually will show the gospel story for the first time, really, out front, okay? So the storm came, because, of course, Pharaoh hardened his heart. The storm came, the hail and the lightning and the thunder and the rain. It was more than just hail. It was involved flooding and lightning, fire in the Hebrew. And you know that song, Misty Edwards, I Hear the Sound of Thunder? I thought about that song when I was reading this, because here in Egypt, they heard the sound of thunder. And then lightning was striking everywhere. I mean, it is terrifying when lightning strikes close to you. And so you got these big hailstones, which we see in Revelation also at the end of this Exodus story. In the book of Revelation, there's hail and lightning and flashings and thunder and all this. So anyway, it was nice in Goshen. And so a perfect picture again of the gospel. And this is the first plague that actually causes death, and it's also the first plague where God gives a salvation message to the unbelievers. Come into the house and be safe. All right. Hallelujah for the gospel. So you should be able to preach the gospel on the plague of hail. Isn't that good? All right. So in verse 23, then Pharaoh says, I have sinned. And after the hail came, Pharaoh now says, I have sinned, which is quite a statement for Pharaoh. The Lord is right. And I am wrong. And chata, chat, in Hebrew with the het, is sin. So you can kind of remember sin leads to hell, which is generally considered warm. And so chat, chata, is how you can remember how to say sin in Ivrit. Okay? Don't go to chata. Oh, Lord. And he says, I am Rasha, which is sounds like Russia, which in Hebrew is wicked. So you have fire and Russia being the words, how you can remember these two words. Rasha is wicked. Okay. All right, moving along. Just, you know, you need little helpers to remember these words. Okay. So Pharaoh says, I will send you out. You don't have to stay any longer. Pray that the plague will stop, that the lightning and the thunder and the rain will stop. And so Moshe will stop the plague as usual. But he says, I know you do not yet fear Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh Elohim, which is the Lord God. So is there a pattern here? Seven plagues and still hard. Okay, so now in verse 34, Pharaoh sins again. Now he already says, I have sinned. And then he hardens his heart. And so the word says that Pharaoh sinned again. Okay, by hardening his heart and lying once more. You can always trust politicians in Egypt. You can always trust them to lie every single time, pretty much. Okay? So that's why the Iran treaty is so safe. Okay. All right, so let's see. The Lord had said it would be like this. But in verse 20, it does say that a remnant or a number of the Egyptians that do now fear the Lord did bring their people in. So there is now a remnant of believers out of the world. And so this is an interesting picture too. There is always those believers in the midst of the darkness. I would say you would belong to that little picture there. You would be the ones that said, get the livestock in, bring them into the house, bring the servants into the house so that we may live. You responded to the gospel. That's what you are. You are ones that your heart is not hard, but your heart believes and is soft towards the word of the Lord, which is the Bible to us today, right? Amen. So you are in that picture, and so you are in the house, and you are watching this storm go by, and you are safe. And in a couple plagues, there'll be another house where people will be safe if they believe. And that will be the blood on the doorpost. We're almost there. So now the third of the last set of three. Remember, there's three sets and then the execution. So this is the second of the last set. So it will come with a warning, right? And it is the locusts, those nice friendly bugs. There's the locusts are starting to scream in the trees now. Have you been hearing them? They started around my house here this week. So why do the locusts scream so loud? It's to warn us. I don't know if these locusts screamed, but wouldn't that have been a scary sound? Because, yes, the 5 weeks of Shemitah is what the locusts were saying to me. So anyway, this one has 20 verses, so God has a lot more to say. Remember, some of the plagues only have 4 or 5 verses. This one and the hail had a whole bunch, and this one has 20 also. So the Lord is still speaking here. So sometimes now the text will say that Pharaoh hardens his heart. If you noticed as we go through this, sometimes the text says that Pharaoh hardens his own heart. And then sometimes it says God hardens his heart. Okay? And so we'll touch on that in a minute, and I'll tell you what that is about. But here it is, God saying that God is hardening the heart so that you may tell your descendants what God did and know that I am the Lord. And so he said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and so you can tell this story, and then you will know that I am the Lord. Now, this is still true today, right? Every Passover, we go through the story. All around the world, these plagues that happened in Egypt so long ago, every Passover, each plague is mentioned by name. All around the world, still to this day, and Hashem said it would be that way right here in the text, right? Okay, so the second set of three comes with a warning, as always. And the third, remember, does not. And so how long will you refuse to humble yourself? Let my people go. so that they may worship me. If you refuse, I will bring locusts tomorrow. So that is the warning. So in verse 5 through 6 here, in Esther 10 there, they will cover the face of the ground so that it cannot be seen. They will devour what little you have left after the hail, including every tree that is growing in your fields. They will fill your houses and those of all your officials and all the Egyptians, something neither your fathers nor your forefathers had ever seen from the day they settled in this land till now. Then Moses turned and left Pharaoh. So here we go with this plague of locusts. And so now locusts had been in the land before, of course, but never like this. Never like this. And verse 7 is new. The officials now tell Pharaoh. This is something new. Pharaoh's officials said to him, "How long will this man be a snare to us? Let these people go so that they may worship the Lord their God. Don't you realize that Egypt is destroyed?" So now somebody's brain is hooked up. See, this is what we need in America. We need somebody to plug the brain in. I like that in that debate, the brain surgeon. He says, "I'm a brain surgeon, and what we need in Washington is some brain." But see, somebody here is starting to have some logic. And they actually tell Pharaoh, if you don't let this guy go, our country will be destroyed. And the word is destroy there. Amen? So anyway, the officials say this, and then they send them away. Egypt is ruined. Okay, so Pharaoh says go. The plagues come, the locusts come, and there's so many locusts. And it says they're in the houses. So how do locusts get in your house? But anyway, remember when the frogs were in the house and they were on Pharaoh's bed? Now he has locusts crawling under the sheets. Ooh. You know how them long, sticky legs? Can you just imagine one coming up your belly right now? Up around your neck? And it's and they spit. They have that chew in their mouth, you know, skull or something. This is why they're called plagues. Y'all want plagues? Repent. Hurry up. So Pharaoh officials say, send them away. Egypt is destroyed. And so Pharaoh says, go. But who will be going? So Pharaoh says, all right, you can go. But just who are you expecting to go? And Moshe says, well, all of us. Hello. And Pharaoh says, no, just the men. So he's kind of allowing them to go now, but just the men. So that way he knows that they'll have to come back because he has all their families hostage, right? And it says in the text there, when you read it, the way that's written is hard to understand, but it's saying that Moshe is having an evil plan of not coming back. And that's why Pharaoh said it that way. Now notice, Moshe says that we will celebrate in verse 9. We will go with our old, our sons and our daughters, and our flocks and the herds, because we are going to chag. We're going to celebrate a festival, it says in the NIV, but in the Hebrew, there's just one word there, not two. It is for a chag, which now you all know. What is this word for festival or celebration? It is what we use here, the Yisrael Rokadim Chagigah and Kehilat Chagigah. It's the feast word, to celebrate. Party. Some people call this place the party church. Now, I don't know why they would say it, but yes, Marty's party. See, in King James, when it says feast, you think of food, which we have that coming up. But it's actually not, doesn't have anything to do with food. It is a celebration. And so God creates celebrations, and the commandment is to celebrate. So it's chag, the chagigah, right? But this is, listen, this is the first time that chag is in the Bible. The holy chagim of the Lord have not yet been given to man, right? But here it is, it is about to, okay? So this chag will become Pesach, chag. Make sure that's a het, not an H, okay? A hey, right? So you don't get the wrong idea there. Which this chapter begins with God saying, you will tell this story forever. And we know this Chag is when they tell this story forever. So Pesach is predicted here by Moshe, even though it actually has never happened yet and doesn't exist yet. Now, in creation, the sun and the moon was given for the Mo'adim, the appointed times. But this is the first time that the Chag word is used as a celebration. Okay, and remember, they never get to go into the desert to keep Passover. They never do get to do what they've been asking to do. They never do get to go into the desert for 3 days and sacrifice and come back. When they do keep Passover, it's in Egypt, right? And then they go, and then they cross the Red Sea, and then they go to Sinai, and then the holy days are given to man and to Israel, and then they go into the promised land where the rest of them are kept, because some of them cannot be kept in the wilderness, right? They have to be kept in the place where God would choose, which doesn't happen until David buys a threshing floor from Aruna the Hittite with gold on Temple Mount, and the one by silver across the street by Aruna for Kesef, right? Okay, and then they all have these holy days given to them, and now what is happening now? You're keeping them. Aren't you happy? So God, they're God's holy days, and God gives them to Israel, and you get them from Israel because you are grafted in fellow citizens with Israel, right? You are not Roman. You have not been grafted in to Rome, okay? Just to clear this up a little bit, all right? So you have no allegiance to Rome. You can spit up right now if I say that word again. It doesn't bother me a bit. Okay, but here it shows up first in your Bible. The holy day of Pesach is right up here, okay, with unleavened bread and the bitter herbs and the whole bit. Okay, so now another point here is that there are people telling the king to wise up in this story. The officials are saying to Pharaoh, hello, hello, wake up, we are being destroyed, we are being destroyed. It sounds like we could be playing out the same story soon enough in this country. Will we get plagues? And if we do, will there be officials saying we need to wise up? We need to go back to the Bible. We need to fear God. We need to repent. We need to stop sinning. We need to be good to these Israelis. We need to let them worship the Lord. I mean, it's like this story could happen again. So tomorrow's newspaper, maybe you'll see. White House cabinet urges Obama to repent. Remember, Israel's national anthem is called The Hope, HaTikvah. And they waited a long time. We're running out of time. But there is hope. Come on. Come on, we'll just change our national anthem to HaTikvah. How's that? See, and our country could be ruined, right? As they say here, if this continues, we'd be destroyed. And Egypt, remember, is the greatest country in the world. And God is judging it with the word of the Lord. Now America is the greatest country in the world. And maybe tomorrow's paper will have repentance in it. Oh, Lord. Hurry up. Wouldn't that be great, though, if we come back to a humble position before the word of God and just stopping the sinning? Hallelujah. Have the Washington, D.C. in sackcloth, laying on the floor, repenting before God, crying out for mercy. That's how the redemptive history of man begins here in Egypt. And now we're at the end of that history. And we have Israel, and we have America. And, oh, Lord. Okay, if only we will return before we have plagues, wouldn't that be nice? So Pharaoh says, go, but only the men. Then he drove out Moshe from his presence, and the Lord says, stretch out your hand towards the heaven. And the locusts came. Jillions of them. Jillions of locusts came. And go a little bit farther. The ground was covered, nothing green remained. They filled the houses, Pharaoh's bed full of locusts. Where do I sleep? So here comes Pharaoh in verse 16. Locusts are everywhere, just like God said, and just like Moshe said. And now what does Pharaoh say? He drove Moshe out, and then the locusts come, and now it says, go get Moses again. Make up your mind. Get out of here. Come back. Get out. Come back. It's amazing. I mean, we could make a cartoon from this. It's so funny. It's if it was funny, you know? It's just like, what is the definition of idiot? Is you do the same thing over and over and expect different results? And so here comes Pharaoh. Go get Moshe. And we have something else new. Now in the text, we have something else new. He says, I have sinned, not just sinned here, but I have sinned against your God and against you. Wow. We have progress. Then he says, now forgive me. Whoa. This is great. And as soon as he said this, Moshe says, okay, and the locusts are all gone. And the Lord hardened his heart, and he would not let them go. It does say, Pharaoh says, take away this. He doesn't use the word plague there. What does he say in the Hebrew, if you read it in Hebrew? Take away this met. And met is death. So Pharaoh recognized that this plague would destroy Egypt and they would all starve to death. And so the wind blows them all away into the Red Sea. And wind in Hebrew is ruach, right? The spirit word. So the fish were probably happy. And that's how the Bible ends. Happy fish. They're so fat. I'm just seeing if you guys are awake. But this matter of the hardening of the heart, let me touch on this before we go on next week into the Pesach. 20 times in this story, it says the heart is hardened. 20 times. And it's amazing because 10 say Pharaoh does it, and 10 say God does it. Hashem. So Pharaoh hardens his own heart first, way back when the rod ate the snakes, right? Then after the first five plagues, it is always Pharaoh hardening his own heart. So the first five is always Pharaoh. Only after the sixth does God say that he hardened it. This is important. So then after the seventh, it is back to Pharaoh. Then the rest from there on, 8, 9, and the execution, it is all God doing the hardening. So after each plague, it becomes more and more logical, obvious, that he needs to repent. But why doesn't Pharaoh repent? Why? Because he's not stupid. He's not blind. Why won't he let Israel go even for a short 3-day trip? It's because, as the text continues to say, it's a heart problem. Not a mental problem, but a heart problem. Even the sorcerer said, remember, this is the finger of God. Even his own people said, it is the finger of God. And so this growing hardness and rebellion and darkness of his heart reaches the point then, after the first half, after the sixth, it reaches the point then that I think that God has had his limit, see? And then God continues the hardening. So let me say that this way. In Proverbs 29:1, it says, the man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. After several plagues, if you remain stiff-necked. See? And so what I'm saying is this is not God's fault. It is not that Pharaoh had no choice. It is not Calvinism, if you want to put it that way, where everybody is a puppet and no one has free will. I hate that. So he has made his own bed, so to speak, and then God will make him sleep in it. But he has made his own bed. Did you grow up with that saying? My mom used to say that. You make your bed, you have to sleep in it. Well, see, he's made his bed, and now he has to sleep in it. And this is a principle in the Word. This is also shown in Romans 1, which is a relevant chapter for these last days. After saying how rebellious man is and how foolish man is, that his heart becomes darkened. His heart becomes darkened. And then it says that God gives them over. See, man hardens his heart, and then God gives them over. It's the same thing, I think, here in the Exodus story. And again, in verse 26, it says, and God gives them over. And then again in verse 28 in Romans chapter 1, and God again gives them over. It's talking about the wickedness of man and the foolishness of man and the hardness that he hardens and darkens his heart, and then God gives them over. And you know the rest of that chapter kind of brings up Sodom and Gomorrah part, which our world has dived into. But God does not give them over until after they have darkened their own hearts. So Pharaoh darkened his own heart, and then God continues the program after it's too late. This is what it sounds like to me. So this is the same thing in Egypt and in Romans 1. In Romans 1:20, it says, God's eternal power and divine nature have been clearly shown, so men are without excuse. Men are without excuse. So Pharaoh is without excuse. But many Egyptians believe and will be saved by leaving with Israel, right? So that brings us to the last plague and then the execution. So we're number 9 and then 10. And so I feel like the Lord showed me something, as he shows crews every morning in the Word. The same God that heart is working here on Pharaoh is the same God that speaks to you. Same God. And it's the same word of Hashem that speaks to you. Isn't that something? After all these ages, that the God that spoke to Moshe in the thorn bush is speaking to you. Amen. So anyway, I saw something in this last plague of darkness that is absolutely astounding to me. But that will have to wait till next week. It is in the next plague. So I'll just clue you in here. Pharaoh is now going to let them go after the plague of darkness. And he's going to say, you can take all of you now, not just the men, but not your cattle and sheep and goats. What has this been from the get-go? We have to go sacrifice to the Lord. So he says, now you can go, but you can't take your sacrifice. And so the darkness comes. But Moshe says in his explanation of why that won't work, he says, we have to take all of our animals to sacrifice, because we do not yet know what is the sacrifice. Ah, this is how the history of Israel begins. We know we have to sacrifice, but we don't know who it is. And so the story will end the same way it begins. We must sacrifice. But until we come to this place of worship, we don't know who it is. And when they know the who, then this age will end. And we'll have us a long hug, a 1,000-year celebration. Amen. But it is in picture form right here, the history of Israel. Yavarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha. Yair Adonai panavaleka v'chunecha. Yisau Adonai panavaleka v'yoseim leka shalom b'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Sar HaShalom. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, amen and amen. Shabbat Shalom. Time for the festival.